Okay, well, that was easy, you know. And this is what it feels like to wear pants. It's a little awkward. It's been a while. Oh, and I gotta say, as an introvert and someone who's not great at greetings, this whole greeting thing has been a blessing to me. You know, when we see each other, everybody's a little awkward, like I always am. We're not exactly sure what to do. I like that spot. And I know I'm not going to get hugged, or I'm pretty confident at least that hugs aren't going to come. So that's really helpful to me. Anyway, I'm also realizing that one of the things that my kids at least were most excited about when they heard about us joining together today is that somewhere they picked up that it was going to end at 10. So they know. And I think I'm going to be able to do it. I think we're going to be able to do it. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? What does it mean to be a neighbor? Jesus was asked this question by a religious teacher, by an expert in the law, and his answer shocked the world. His answer to this religious teacher changed everything. And the story is told in Luke chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, your Bibles, do not share Bibles. If you have a Bible or your phone, you want to turn to Luke chapter 10. It's a story that Jesus tells, and it's a story of the Good Samaritan. And that, I think there's something deeper here, even than that phrase, the Good Samaritan. And I'll point out a little bit later, that phrase doesn't show up in the story that he tells. But we'll get to that in a second. For now, wow, like what a journey that we've been on these last 3 months. On March 15th, I was scheduled to preach the day that we canceled the service. And if you remember, we entered a time, a series of what it means to wear masks. Can you remember that? What it means to wear a mask. And I was prepared to teach a sermon about what it's like to go outside every day and have to put on a mask of self-protection, not wanting to be vulnerable. But you wouldn't understand what that would be like. But I remember early on, as we were watching services online and Pastor Carl was delivering some video messages, he had a word for us. Do you remember it? He said, and it was really neat too, because he'd get all excited. You had emotion. Your voice would get a little bit higher. This is a lot of emotion for Carl. And I can remember him saying, you're ready for this. You are ready for this. And what I was taking from that is, what Pastor Carl was saying is that we are indeed ready for this, that the resources of our faith would be able to guide us and help us through the difficult days ahead. And also, Pastor Carl was reminding us of ways in which our own congregation had been on a journey and the things that we were learning together, how that was preparing us for this unique time in our lives and in the life of this congregation. We are ready for this. And if you remember, one of the things at the beginning of the year we were doing is we were remembering or reminding ourselves of our mission statement of the church. This is what we want to be about: people who enjoy God, who love each other, and are a blessing to our neighbors. That's what Mountjoy Mennonite Church is about: enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing our neighbors. And for this year, we were going to be on a journey together of trying to understand what it looks like to bless our neighbors. How can we be more intentional as a congregation, blessing the people around us, blessing our neighbors? And I've been thinking a lot about this moment of uncertainty, of chaos, of social unrest. And in light of all of that, what is our calling as followers of Jesus? And especially the calling of a church that's going to take seriously the call to bless and love our neighbors. And one of the passages that I've been working through, that I've been working on, that's been working on me, is Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. And this is a familiar passage. We know the story. In fact, people who aren't Christians probably know something about this story. But sometimes the familiarity, when something's really familiar, we might miss the bigger picture. So let's look at this together. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" And this is a wonderful teaching tactic. Somebody asks you a question, you ask a question right back. I picked that up somewhere. It really works great. Okay, so what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, "Well, what does the Bible say? What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said this. He told a story, a parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said. "And when I return, I will reimburse you for an extra expense, for any extra expense you may have, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now, on the surface, very simply even, but still very importantly, I think this passage highlights 3 things about what it means to be a blessing to our neighbor. 3 things. Blessing our neighbors is never abstract. Blessing our neighbors requires us to see and to respond, requires seeing and responding, and blessing our neighbors comes with a cost, but it's worth it. First, blessing our neighbors is never abstract. Notice that the religious teacher of the law comes to Jesus asking questions. I think he wants to have a theoretical conversation with Jesus. Let's keep this at the theoretical level. What must I do to have eternal life? What must I do? And then who is my neighbor? All of these questions. There's a time for questions, for sure. There's a time for thinking and reading. Thankfully, I enjoy these things. There's a time for doing all our research. But Jesus is not going to let this guy off the hook. It's almost like the guy's looking for a loophole. What must I do for eternal life? Who is my neighbor? Sometimes asking questions, at least for me, keeps things on a theoretical level. And it can actually keep us from doing the hard work of helping people. I'd rather have conversations about it often than actually help the person in front of me. And I wonder if some of that is going on in this passage. But second, blessing our neighbors requires seeing and responding. It's not enough to just see a problem, see someone in need, but we also need to be moved by compassion. You have to care enough to act, to pay attention to the needs of those around you and respond. Now, right now, there is a lot of talk about systemic injustice and oppression and racism. And those are very important conversations to have, and they are things that we need to be aware of and we need to care about, for sure. There's no question. But sometimes when I hear about it, I feel stuck. I'm not exactly sure what to do about it at that level. I do trust, of course, that God has called people who are particularly gifted with that specific calling, who are saying their prayers, who are caring about their faith, who are following Jesus into those arenas, and they are going to bring change that we need, and we should be praying for them. But what is my role? What is our role during this time? I don't know. But what I can do is help the people in front of me. And what if we all did that? We all have that calling to love God and love our neighbors, so let's do it. This week, Pastor Carl mentioned the group from the church who walked around the neighborhood and just tried to get a sense of the needs that are in this area. And I talked to some people who had done it, and one of the things they said that surprised them, that stuck out to them, is they didn't realize in less than a mile of where we're sitting right now, the range of need that exists in this community right here. But they went looking for it. They saw it. And now we're working on responses. Some responded right then and there, and now we're looking at a big picture way to respond. I think if we're going to address some of these things at that systemic level, the first thing we need to do is, well, we have to get off our donkeys and help people, which would have been more fun in the King James version of the Bible. But anyway, we have to do something about it. We have to see what's going on, and we have to be willing to respond. Here's the challenge for this week for me, invitation to you. This is what I'm going to do this week. I'm going to be on the lookout for people in need, and I'm setting the bar low. I'm going to respond to one thing, one need around me this week. I'm going to be on the lookout for one time where I see a need, and I'm going to respond. Hold me accountable to it. Ask me how I did. Maybe you want to do that too. So first, blessing our neighbors is never abstract. Blessing our neighbors requires seeing and responding. Third, blessing our neighbors comes with a cost. Helping those in need will cost you something. Time, money, your own physical well-being. The Samaritan puts the man, the hurting man, on his donkey, pays for his stay, and will return to pay the rest of the bill. Responding to a need comes with a cost, especially if you are willing to see it through to the end. But it's worth it. I can't imagine anybody who gathered this week to walk through the neighborhood, to assess the needs, to pray for people, to find out what's going on around us, came back and said, that was a waste of time. Wow, what a way to waste an evening when I could have been doing something else. No, almost every time I've responded in that way, I've done something meaningful like that, I walk away saying, I couldn't imagine not doing that. Remember the religious person's question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, real life? If you are looking for eternal life, real life, a life worth living, the Bible says you give your life away. That's how we find it. Blessing our neighbors is never abstract. Blessing our neighbors requires seeing and responding. Blessing our neighbors comes with a cost. So on one level, this parable is about not defining who our neighbors are, like the guy wanted to know, but about revealing what a neighbor does. Now, Jesus says, go and do likewise. Fair enough. But wait. I think there's something more going on in this story. Remember, parables are stories that Jesus tells to reveal something about the nature of the kingdom of God, or to reveal something about Jesus at the center of this kingdom, or to reveal something about the nature of the character of God himself. Parables are not moral tales where you try to find the moral of the story, which is basically what I just did. And that's helpful, right? Those are good things to think about. But I'm not sure that's what Jesus is saying. Parables are like riddles that pack a punch. They are subversive stories that challenge the status quo. Remember, when Jesus told parables, some people with ears to hear would say, wow, that's a zinger. I didn't see that coming. Other people would say, hear the story and say, what in the world is this guy talking about? They didn't make sense. You had to try it. Often it was the disciples that would say, Jesus, what were you just talking about? It didn't quite make sense. On one level, this story seems very simple, straightforward, help people in need. But let me ask you this. If a guy's walking around telling people that you should be a good neighbor, that you should help people in need, would you end up on a cross? Would that get you killed, really? When reading a parable, keep the end in mind. Jesus on a cross, killed by those in power, killed by the establishment. A nice moral tale about being a good neighbor does not get you killed. So what is going on here in this story? Remember, he is a religious teacher, an expert in the law, who wanted to justify himself. Remember the story. An expert in the law comes to Jesus. He confronts Jesus. He says, Jesus, and I don't know if he's strutting up to Jesus or if he's genuinely coming to Jesus with questions, but he's an expert in the law, and he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, let me ask you a question. What must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, what do you think you need to do? And the expert in the law says, well, I should love God and love my neighbor. And Jesus says, yes, that's it. Do that and you'll live. But it wasn't enough for the religious teacher. He wanted to justify himself. So he said, teacher, Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells him a story. And the story goes like this. There's a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's beaten up and he's left to dead. And then a priest comes by, an expert in the law, and he sees him there, and he does nothing. He walks by. He walks around. He sees him, but doesn't do anything. Then a Levite, another expert in the law, walks by, sees him on the ground, does nothing. And then a Samaritan, of all people, a people group that the Jewish people at the time hated and couldn't stand. This guy comes and he shows mercy. He goes after the man on the ground. Maybe in Jesus' day, maybe in our day, the power of the story is realizing that it's possible for us to hide behind religious titles and religious positions and not actually do the work of the Father. In other words, I think Jesus is saying to this religious expert, are you going to be a true expert in the law and help someone, or are you going to be a religious hypocrite like all your friends? Now that's a zinger. But wait, I think there's even more here. Maybe Jesus is saying, oh, you're an expert in the law, are you? An expert in the law would be willing to help the person on the ground. That's what the true expert in the law would do. And dare I say, Jesus talking, like I am doing. Okay. Maybe this story is not just about being a blessing to our neighbors, although it is. Maybe it's not just about hypocrisy and self-righteousness, although it is. Could it also be about seeing Jesus as our neighbor? Now bear with me. Home stretch. Remember the question. The religious teacher wanted to justify himself, so he asked, who is my neighbor? Maybe, just maybe, the emphasis is on the my. Who is my neighbor? So Jesus tells a story. And this story includes a man, a Samaritan of all people, on a donkey riding towards Jerusalem. Did you catch that? He encounters a beaten man on the side of the road, and he helps him. The Samaritan is the hero in this story. That's the shocker of the whole story. The Samaritan helps. That is unexpected. The hero of this story, you would never expect, would be the Samaritan. Remember, two religious leaders walk past the half-dead man on the side of the road. You would expect them to help, but they don't. The Samaritan, who no one in the religious establishment would expect, helps, shows mercy, is moved by compassion, moves toward the hurting man, essentially heals the man, bringing the half-dead person back to life. Did you hear me? Did you catch that? He takes the man to an inn, pays a price for the man to be healed. Did you catch that? He goes away, and then he says he will return, and he will pay any and every debt in full. He will make all things right. Come on now. The man will be healed, and he will be set free from any debt he owes. Did you know that there's a term in the Bible? In Christian theology, that means the act of God removing the guilt and penalty of sin and declaring the ungodly righteous. That word is justification. And remember the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be in God's family in the age to come? What must I do to be counted as righteous? Nothing. You can't do anything to earn God's favor. You simply receive the mercy of the unexpected Savior who comes down after you. You can't justify yourself. Only God can justify you. Jesus asks the religious leader, the religious expert, who was the neighbor in this story? And the religious expert says the one who showed him mercy. It's almost like he can't bring himself to say Samaritan, and that makes sense. He would never want to say Samaritan is the hero of the story, so he simply says the one who's the neighbor in the story is the one who shows mercy. But maybe he can't bring himself to say Jesus. Jesus is our neighbor. Jesus is the religious teacher who is embodying what the religious teaching is supposed to be about. And now we are called to go and do likewise. Maybe this parable is not just about us learning what it means to be a good neighbor, but about seeing and recognizing Jesus as the ultimate neighbor for us. Jesus is the neighbor we all need because all of us are hurting people, half dead, beaten, in need of a Savior. In this season of uncertainty, discomfort, social unrest, let's consider our role in helping those around us. Let's be good neighbors, not in a self-righteous way. Let's just follow the teaching of our Lord and bless our neighbors and go and do likewise. But also, let's remember and rest in and delight in and enjoy the fact that Jesus is our ultimate neighbor, bringing us back to life, paying it all for us, who is my neighbor, who is our neighbor, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for how you show us what it means to be a true expert in the law, to read our Bibles well. You tell us to love you and love our neighbors. Lord, we want to do that. We need to be empowered by your Spirit to do that. Lord, this week, help us to see and respond, to be looking for needs and to act as you would. But ultimately, Lord, we are so thankful that you are our ultimate neighbor, that you love us so much that you come after us, that you bring us back to life, that you bring us back to health, that you restore us, and that you make all things right and new. Lord, may we walk in that truth each day. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.